Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today my guest is Joel Fluent Green, a Detroit-based poet, author, and event curator who was the longest-running host of Detroit's iconic Cafe Mahogany Poetry Series back in the day. Green has shared the stage with The Roots, Pharrell Williams, The Last Poets, Talib Kweli, Lettucey, Jessica Kerr Moore, Big Sean, Saul Williams, the Detroit Red Wings, and many more. He has performed and emceed for corporations and institutions such as Fiat Chrysler, McDonald's, Music Hall Center for the Performing Arts, Coca-Cola, Rider House, 100 Black Men of America, Inside Out Detroit, and the New Eurekan Poets Cafe. He has held workshops and performed in over 50 Metro Detroit schools for thousands of youth. Green produces the acclaimed stage series A Man Can Change at the Detroit Music Hall's Jazz Cafe and the monthly event Mahogany at the Museum at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History. Joel Fluent Green is the author of three poetry books, Poems of Bungalow and Concrete, Waxing and Waning, and his new book is Somewhere in the Middle, Love Poems. And he has what he calls a swanky book release event for Somewhere in the Middle coming up this Saturday, February 25th. And I want to welcome Joel Fluent Green to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. That was such a beautiful introduction. You like literally read my whole bio. Thank you so much.
It's you. It's all you.
That's so sweet.
You are so welcome. So welcome. Listen, I want to do something I don't normally do, Joel, but I would really like it if you would open up our conversation today with one of the poems from your new book, Somewhere in the Middle, Love Poems. Can you do that?
I really can. Sure, no problem.
Yay.
Let's see here.
Thank
I have
you.
One queued up, actually. This poem right here, it's kind of sweet, short. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about love, different types of love, love for the city, romantic love, love for my people, a little bit of everything. So this is a romantic piece right here from the perspective of a black man that is learning how to accept being loved, basically.
Okay.
So, here we go.
Okay.
If on the first snowfall of the winter, she brings you stew in a clear container from the same pot prepared for her kids and father, okra on the side, just in case you don't like okra, just spicy enough to warm you up in her absence, an offering of herself that we won't take lightly. Woman with the first mind to give a man someone's thirds and making sure your black butt is good over there. You're cared for, black man. Don't tell yourself different. Go ahead and let us tear wet the screen on your tablet. Her caring means more than you'll say without typing. It's a growing suspicion that maybe you're special. It's knowing that no matter what, she's your people. Romance or no romance, her caring is for you. So tonight, thank God above for grace and good eating. Just enough to have your black butt good over there. That's that.
Wow, that's nice. I like
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this poem. What's the name of it?
It's untitled. Most of my poems are untitled. Yeah, I just kind of leave you with a feeling. I don't really title most of my poems. I might title give a title to about 10% of the things I write, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, rarely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that a planned strategy, or is that because sometimes a title just doesn't fit, or you can't come up with a title?
Well,
what's that? You know,
I'm about the aesthetics of everything. So I think that a lot of times, if the title doesn't really speak to what the poem's about, I just leave it alone.
Mm.
Like the title has to be something really sincere and real, because it's like the cover of a book. If the cover doesn't match, don't attach it to that book. So I feel like, you know, I give it the same type of consideration I would to anything else I would attach to the poem. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the title is just that important to me. So sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't know. I'm just weird like that, I guess.
Yeah.
Personal thing.
No, I get it. Because sometimes it's like forcing a title on the poem when you just want the poem to speak for itself. And I remember, you know, reading a lot of Nikki Giovanni when I was younger, and she had a lot of untitled poems. I'm like, well, you know, that's okay. Yeah. So this one that you read, break that up for us a little bit. I mean, what is the background for that? Where did that story come from? What was the catalyst?
Well, it's personal. I mean, just to be dating currently, and then just to know, like, oh, let's say you have a cold or something, and you tell, you know, me being a man, a black man, telling, you know, who I'm with, like, hey, you know, I'm have a cold or whatever, or, you know, let's say a woman just brings you, like, medicine or brings you chicken noodle soup or something. It's like a beautiful thing to think that someone is driving from their house to your house to prepare you something or bring you something they prepared in their house, especially a woman with, you know, kids or family, things going on, but she's still making sure that you're okay. You know, it's like a it's like a big deal to accept that. A lot of times it's hard for us to accept. You know, if you're a single guy, you're living by yourself, living a bachelor lifestyle, you got pizza boxes stacked up in your, you know, in your fridge.
Right.
And you got, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, I made some stew. I'm going to bring this for you. And not only that, I'm going to put the okra on the side just in case you don't like it. Like, I'm really going to consider you. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's like the simplest thing that really shows that someone loves you and cares about you. So I just really wanted to relay that, because a lot of times it's hard for us to accept that. Like, wow, she's driving down 75 to come see me at 11 o'clock in the evening to bring me food. You know, really? Okay. You know, it's a beautiful thing. So I just kind of wanted to talk about it like that. And that's the kind of love I really want to express. It's just a very pure, real thing from, you know, one person to another. I just really want to get those feelings across to everybody.
Right. When you said, before you got into the poem, though, you said it's the book, Somewhere in the Middle, Love Poems, is about all types of love, not just romantic love. Because I was thinking, oh, this is about, you know, romantic love. And like you said, maybe you're in a relationship right now, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this has got Joel going right now because, you know, he's in love.
But you've got,
if there's that. But you said you have a love for the city, and I know you do have a love for the city, and you have a love for the people in the city. So you're reflecting all of these different forms of love in this book, Somewhere in the Middle.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I find when people ask me about my poetry, they'll ask me, like, what do you like to write about? Like, what do you love to write about? What makes you feel good? And my answers are always, you know, being black, Detroit, women, family, things that really matter to me and things that I think about on a regular basis that we all, a lot of us do, especially black folks in Detroit. So I really just want to make something pure and honest and really pay tribute to these different things in a loving way, as opposed to I'm going to talk about the gritty or the bad or this and that. No, everything's uplifting, beautiful. Let's really, like, when it comes to our skin, like, I break it down, like, skin, city, different things like that. And so it's like, let's talk about what I love about being black. You know, let's talk about the love between a black man and a black woman, or two people in general, that understand each other. And with everything going on in the world, how much we really need each other. So I talk about that. I talk about the city and all the changes we're going through. The title Somewhere in the Middle is intentional because I live in Midtown, you know, so it's kind of like, here I am with this view. Like, right now I'm looking out the window. I'm overlooking Woodward, like where the train tracks are and the station and all this stuff for the new train coming. I call it the gentry train, by the way. That's what I call it. So, for the gentry train, for the Q line. And it's like I get to experience all this change going on right now, being a black man in the middle of life where it's like I'm middle-aged and I'm living in the middle in Midtown and I'm in the middle of this relationship. And this is all these different things going on. And I just wanted to talk about my perspectives on life, basically, and the things that I think about on a regular basis. Yeah.
I get it. And you went so nicely into my next question about what does Somewhere in the Middle actually mean. But you just broke it down. And when you're in that middle place in your life, it's such an interesting place to be. And so the title that you've given this piece of work is so fitting for where you are right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love it, too. I mean, just the perspective of being a grown man, you know, and thinking about grown things. I've never felt so grown in my life. You know what I'm saying? And I love that because I've earned it. You know, I've done the dumb things. I've learned the hard lessons. I've had the bumps and the bruises and the hard knocks and all that stuff. And I just want to be a happy guy right now, a happy black man with some joy in his life, with some love in his life, just handling his business, doing better in every way possible. That's all I want. And so this book is really about that. You know, it's about being black, about gentrification. It's about love. It's about romance. It's about wanting and feeling the need to be wanted. You know, it's just that honest. It's really just about me and where I've been coming from. Being this, you know, I'm about to turn 40 this year, so it's quite the appropriate book for me right now. So I'm really excited about this one because it's very personal and it's very real, and I think people will like it. I really.
So you said it's very personal. Is this a different kind of book from you, from your other two? There's the BNC and Waxing and Waning. Is this a different strain of book for you?
Yeah, well, Waxing and Waning was personal, definitely, because I talked about things like depression and things like that. And it was more like of a random book. Waxing and Waning, my mind was in a state where I was all over the place. So the book kind of reflects that. And I liked that book for being that. It was my first book. So, you know, the fonts were small. The quality of the paper was cheap. You know, everything a first book is supposed to be when you're self-publishing. So I basically, I learned a lot. And then the second book, it's, I'm so proud. You know, honestly, maybe until I really get to sit down and really read this one over and over, I'm probably thinking BNC is my favorite book, Bungalow and Concrete, because Bungalow and Concrete was written as a tribute to Paul Laurence Dunbar. And he's my favorite poet. And he has a book called Poems of Cabin and Field. So this being, you know, this day and age, I wrote that book. It came out in 2015. So hence, you know, so Poems of Bungalow and Concrete, like a more modern version of that. And I put through a lot of dialect stuff in there. I like dialect poetry, like old school dialect. I throw some references to that in there. A lot of Dunbar-esque things and a lot of Detroit-centric stuff, too, because of the title and just because of the vibe of it. And so that's kind of like a reflection on West Side Detroit life, I think. And just things I was thinking about at the time. This book is really intentional, though, because I just wanted everything to uplift. I wanted us to see the beauty and the joy in everything. And when it comes to love, you know, I'm a black man that's dealt with depression. You know, I'm a father. There are so many different things I think about when it comes to my personal life that have to be considered. And so sometimes it's hard to allow love to be into your life. So I think this book is really all about us accepting where we're at. At this crucial time, being a black man, where I'm at right now in my life, about to be 40 years old, you know, and wanting to really go hard with the self-publishing and being a writer and a poet, right now is so crucial for me. Like the work I'm doing out in the community, like I do poetry with Mariners Inn, a poetry workshop every Wednesday. I just came from there actually today. And I'm just at a good point right now where I've decided maybe a few years ago to take this poetry seriously. And to the extent where people are going to take me seriously as a poet, like these are going to have to, because I'm going to keep writing poems. And I want to keep improving and grow as a man, and I want my poetry to reflect that. So this book right now is definitely a reflection on being a black male, middle-aged, living in Midtown, in Detroit, in love, happy, and just wanting to keep it going.
Right. I hear you. Man, you've given me so much good stuff I want to bounce off of. But let's So you said that you learned a lot after Waxing and Waning, your first book. Tell us a little bit about what you did learn as a poet, because I assume you're talking about as a poet, as an author, as a self-publisher, all of that, right? Marketer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Marketing. So, I mean, I had a great book release party. I had Ty Sawyer do my art. All this other stuff. And then the last thing I focused on was selling books after everything was done. You know what I'm saying? So, this is a swanky party. I'm at the music hall. Oh, the one and only Ty Sawyer did my book cover. Oh, guess who's here? This person's here. That person's here. All the big ones. We're all having a good time. Oh, nice. Free drinks from 8 to 9, blah, blah, blah. Great show. Okay, what do you do now? What the next day? What, after all that euphoria is gone, it's time to sell some friggin' books. So I learned a lot from that. And that's what I'm really going to apply to this one now, because my book release is at the same venue, Jazz Cafe, this Saturday, 8 o'clock. You know, it's going to be a great time and all that good stuff. But trust me, next week, selling books. Week after, selling books. A year from now, selling books. Any conference I can do, any, you know, big whatever I can do, any book, anything I can do in another city, at a college, university, whatever, I'm going to be there. You know, if the Howard Johnson conference room in Decatur, Illinois is doing a book expo, I'm going to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm following the menu, the guideline of people like Shaka Singh Gore and people that really have worked hard and believed in their work, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's the biggest lesson I've gotten from the first book. And just be more intentional with your writing, where you place poems, the feel, the vibe, the flow of it. Because it's a poetry book. You want the flow a certain way. And like, I was really proud of that with Bungalow and Concrete, because I was more focused. You know, Bungalow and Concrete just felt more comfortable. I designed my own cover. Everything was just more intentional, and I took my time with it. Whereas Waxing and Waning, it was like, I got to get a book out and prove to people I'm a poet and not just a hope guy. You know what I'm saying? So I can, let me never get this book out. And I love the poems in there. I stand by it. I love it. But Bungalow and Concrete was like inspired by my favorite poet. I could almost feel him. Like just really nodding his head in approval. Like, okay, I see what you're doing, because I took it that serious. And, you know, it just really meant a lot. You know, the references to Dunbar's work, I have his picture in the back of the book. It just really meant that much to me to really pay tribute to my favorite poet. So, you know, I think that might be my, and, you know, for all time, no matter what I write, that might be my favorite book, because of the feeling. I knew I put a lot into that, you know.
We both share a love for Paul Laurence Dunbar. I grew up just with my face in that red book, that book with the red cover. All those beautiful poems, all that dialect that you're talking about. Yeah, so I'm with you right there for that. And I just got to let get my listeners know that today my guest is Joel Fluent Green, author of 3 books of poetry, Waxing and Waning, Poems of Bungalow and Concrete. And his new book is Somewhere in the Middle, Love Poems. And he has a swanky book release event coming up for Somewhere in the Middle this Saturday at the Jazz Cafe at the Music Hall. So I think right now I'd like to hear another poem from you.
Awesome. Can I read a longer one? Is that okay?
Yes, you may.
Okay. I'm going to get into it now. All right. So I'm deciding. Okay. So I submitted this to, I'm not even sure the name of the book, but Aaron Foley, who's the wonderful editor over at Black Magazine, actually selected this poem to be included in some neighborhood anthology that's coming out. At some point it's coming out. I don't know. So I want to share this. It's a little long here, but it's called Cass Corridor Number 1.
Okay, as you're saying, it's a little long. We have about 11 minutes, 10 minutes, so there.
Yeah, no, I'll take up about 2.5 of those. No problem.
I'm ready.
Okay. Perfect. This is a 12-minute poem. No, I'm kidding. Okay, here we go. So Cass Corridor Number 1, that's the title, and I just dedicate this to this neighborhood I'm looking at right now. We call Midtown, and for the sake of the people that know what's up, I'm going to call it Cass Corridor, and here we go. If I'm to talk about the corridor I know, that narrow, suffocating stroll where streetwalkers in neon clothes or threads will walk up Cass with tricky goals, the darkness of it all still, 20 years later, the danger of parking on side streets lurking, the late night quest to visit mainstay buildings with shiny new names that reflect this new village, this commune of consumers with expensive bicycles. I just want to be accepted. Not as new, as authentic, said the black man with the jitney. Before the Uber and the Lyft, he was part of this economy. Before this dichotomy, this half caught the knots, the other half caught the gots, and I won't forget the goats. I'll remember all the names, the characters, the dark rooms, the deep bass, and sticky floors, the sales line slapped on the butt of a ghost, ghost that can't be revived, only replaced. I'm familiar with all the haunts and all the wonderful stories that took place. Oh, this corridor I know, spin me around blindfolded on some street off Cass, and I swear to God, Andrea, I'll find my way home. Or I'll find my way to the Bronx Bar. Perhaps that's preferable for the drowning of a sorrow, thoughts of friends I used to know, when all of this shiny was fresh and exciting. Oh, we would walk past the Bronx, the white and black faces, now older, still nameless, still way cooler than me. a punk song for Crazy Dan, for East Palmer and Woodward. I regret that we never played chess on your old glass countertop. And I kind of miss our conversations about our city and these changes to the placement of the seniors, the ordaining of the Caesar, and the quickening of fever, pitching ideas over wood oven pizza and the coolest craft malt liquor, us fools. We should have thought bigger when the land was cheaper. The collective attention skewed eastern. But see, this was our grit, raw speck of dust on the palm of Michigan. And on that speck, we were living microscopic, simple dreams, simple sin. Now, 20 years later, on my 39th birthday, I remember being 19, being one of the fresh kids who now have kids. And we stop in that Starbucks and consume this convenience, that thing we never thought would come, right? We could call it a progress. I'll call it a sure thing, wide open for the right ones with the paper of green. This is for my brother. Jean jacket, a million buttons, the king of cast, adorned as his crown. And to all the young misfits, please promise to enjoy it. Treat each single alley like it's sacred, and please, for the love of God, pick up your garbage. Hop on that gentry train. Pop in the new pop-ups. But respect that bumpy road underneath that bike lane. Cass Corridor, the original name.
Yes, yes, yes. Snap, snap, snap. Can you hear me snapping? I'm snapping.
That's
so much how those of us who knew Cass Corridor before, you know, it became something different that it is now.
Yeah.
That's how we feel. You really did capture the essence of old school Detroiters for that one. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
I remember the feeling.
Yeah. Definitely. So let's talk about this, your book release event. It's going to be pretty big. It's at the Jazz Cafe. It's Saturday the 25th. What time? It's at 8 o'clock. So it starts at 9, right?
Show starts at 9. We have a VIP reception, which is $20 if you come early. You want food. We have complimentary food, drinks for our sponsored by Vu Vodka, great food. We have a photo booth. You can come get your pictures taken and take a copy home with you. Plus, you get digital copies sent to your email. It's a big, nice, swanky thing with lots of perks. Because I do shows, like, monthly. And people, you know, spend a lot of their good, hard-earned money on my events. And I'm blessed in that regard. So I really want to have some audience appreciation where the cover is low and you get a lot for your money. So $20 is like, usually I charge $20 at the door for, like, Mahogany, for instance, at the museum. That's a $20 show at the door, but that's just general admission. That's it. But for this show, you pay $20 at the Jazz Cafe this Saturday, and you get food, you get comp drinks, you get pictures to take with you, all that great stuff. And I have books for sale as well. We have great ticket packages available, so if you just want to come and, you know, get a book, get a table, there's all types of packages. But it's going to be a great time. I really just encourage people to come out and check it out. We have the lineup is excellent. For one, I'm performing with my dad, so that's I'm really looking forward. My dad's an excellent jazz musician, Charles Green, keyboard player, pianist, genius on the ivory, and I'm really excited to be performing with him. I got Brandon Williams, the one and only Mr. Famous, Brandon Williams on drums, and my homeboy Glenn on bass, actually. So we got a 3-piece band, which is going to be hot. I got the upright bass, and everything's going to be dope. I have my homegirl, Sway, opening, who was a wonderful singer-songwriter. She has the greatest voice in the world. She's so amazing and so sweet and so talented. She's opening up the show. And also Miss Melanie Rutherford, who just got signed to a record deal, actually. Great singer, writer. She's written for so many people. She teaches classes on songwriting. She's really just a stellar person. She's from Pontiac. She'll be coming down to perform and open up the show. So you get these two great, wonderful singers. A couple of surprise guest friends of mine are going to come do some poetry. And then also you have me performing with a 3-piece band. It's going to be a great time. If you want to come, general admission is just $10, and VIP is $20. And it's going to be a lot of fun, so I'm encouraging people to come out.
It is. I know. Your shows are always so good, Joel. They're entertaining, but they're personal. I mean, they're just really good shows. So people can buy tickets at the door, but they can also buy them online. Where can they go to get them online?
Okay, so online it's thepoet@brownpapertickets.com. So you can just go to brownpapertickets.com, which is the ticketing site, and you just type in The Poet, Or you can go to Jazz Cafe Detroit. I believe it's jazzcafedetroit.com. But the Jazz Cafe's website, there's a ticket link on there. It's just look up the event for this Saturday. But definitely Brown Paper Tickets, direct link, Brown Paper Tickets. Search The Poet. That's the name of the event. It'll pop right up. And there's plenty of ticketing options there. So, yep. And if you just want to order a book, if you like what you heard today, you want to support this guy from Detroit that with bills and stuff, then go ahead and you can just directly order a book right from the same ticketing site. There's an option that says, I want the book. You can just order the book, and it'll come to you in exactly in about a week now, actually. It'll come next week. So, yeah.
Sweet. Yep. And where can you have a website and you're on Facebook?
Yes. Yep, my website is joelfluentgreen.com, joelfluentgreen.com, and my Facebook is the same, Joel Fluent Green, Instagram the same. Not really heavy on Twitter, but you can definitely catch me on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Yep.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Joel, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being my guest. I love you, love your poetry, love everything you're doing.
Oh, I love you, too.
Like every time I look up, I see Joel's doing something else, some other kind of poetry thing. I saw what you said about you getting a fully funded program at Mariners Inn. And
shout out to Mariners Inn. Yeah.
It's great. It's great. It is great, great, great. So I appreciate you for everything you do and have a wonderful event this Saturday.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Hey, you're on the guest list, so let me know if you can make it.
Great. Okay. I will let you know. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so well. Yeah, you're a treasure. Thank you so much for everything you do. I appreciate you. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
You're
take
welcome.
Care.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And that was Joel Fluent Green, my guest for today. What a wonderful man to know, a wonderful man to hear his poetry. And before I close out, I want to mention an event coming up this Sunday, February 26th. Detroit Book City is hosting the African American Family Book Expo from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Northwest Activity Center, 18100 Myers in Detroit. There will be authors signing books, which you can purchase at a discount price, vendors, lots of books, family, fun, and entertainment. Tickets at the door are $3 for adults, only $3. Yes, only $3 and $1 for children 5 to 12 years old. So check out the African American Family Book Expo Sunday, February 26th. For more information, visit DetroitBookCity.com/2017-expo. And that's it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. I want to thank again Joel Fluent Green for being my guest today with wonderful poetry. Be sure to check him out on Facebook as Joel Fluent Green and at his website under that same name, joelfluentgreen.com. And be sure to stop by and go to his book release event for Somewhere in the Middle this Saturday at the Jazz Cafe at the Detroit Music Hall. And remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com. And you can find us on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff with my guest, Dr. Eddie Connor Jr. He's going to be talking about his new book, Dear Queen. This has been me, Andrea Daniel, for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you out there for listening. I do appreciate you so much for being there. I want you to have a good rest of your evening and live a good story. And if you are so inclined, write about it. Good night, everybody.